Started in the New Testament. We've read here in this chapter how reference is made to the first day of the week, verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. And again in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. What day did Jesus rise from the dead? He rose from the dead the first day of the week. And that is highly significant because the first day of the week holds a place of significance ever since in the life and practice of the Church of Jesus Christ. The first day of the week is Sunday, our Sunday. People often get it mixed up and they think that Monday is the first day of the week. It may be the first day of the working week, but it's not the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. It's the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And thereafter, the Church of Jesus Christ, the New Testament Church, meets together for worship and fellowship on this day. And we find that practice set forth and established in the New Testament scriptures. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2 talks about that day, the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to worship the Lord. And here we find in this chapter, the Lord sets his imprimatur upon this change. The Old Testament Sabbath was on the seventh day of the week, our Saturday. But now the New Testament Sabbath is on the Sunday, the first day of the week, commemorating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what do we find here in verse 19? The Lord, on the first day of the week, came where the disciples were assembled and stood in the midst. And then again in verse number 26, we read of this, and after 8 days again, that is the following Sunday. After 8 days again, his disciples were within. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst. And on these two occasions, the Lord comes to his assembled people. He visits them. He reveals himself to them, thereby setting his imprimatur, his approval, upon this change from the seventh day to the first day of the week, commemorating his resurrection. The Old Testament Sabbath commemorated the creation. God rested from all the work that he had made the previous 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. But now, in this New Testament era, the day for worship, the day for fellowship, the day for gathering together is the first day of the week, our Sunday, commemorating the Lord's resurrection from the dead. Now that is very interesting because the day of the Lord's resurrection is referred to in a number of ways when you come to Numbers. In fact, you could refer to it, if we were to give a title to this study, you could refer to it as the day when 1 plus 3 equals 8. When 1 plus 3 equals 8. What do I mean? Well, verse number 1 talks about this day being the first day of the week. But it was also the third day. It was the third day since he died. The Lord said, after 3 days, I will rise again. But if you look at verse number 26, you'll discover that it's also referred to as the eighth day. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. 8 is 7 plus 1. And if you take the first day of the week and you go right through the whole week, you come to the Saturday and that is 7 days. And then the 8th day is the first day of the week again. So this one day, the day of resurrection, is described as the first day of the week. It is described as the third day since Jesus died, and it's also described as the eighth day. Now that's very important and it's very significant, the eighth day. When you turn to the Old Testament, and remember, we're only at the threshold of the New Testament dispensation at this point. So these disciples are still belonging to the Old Testament dispensation, familiar with all that had been set forth in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament mentions nothing about the first day in reference to resurrection. But it does place an emphasis upon the eighth day. The eighth day. And those references to the eighth day all point, they all have some connection with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what I want just for a few moments is to trace this line of thought as it runs through the Old Testament, the eighth day. The day when 1 + 3 = 8. The eighth day. Turn to Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22 and verse number 27. The Lord is speaking to Moses on this occasion. Remember, this is the time after the children of Israel have come out of Egypt and they're at Mount Sinai. And the Lord is giving them instruction as a nation how they are to worship the Lord. And he sets before them particular aspects regarding his worship. The whole tabernacle scene with the altar and the offering of the sacrifices. Verse 26, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam. The word dam means mother. 7 days under the mother. And from the eighth day, and henceforth, it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. I want you to notice here that the eighth day is connected with the sacrifice and with the acceptability of the sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament era, the people were taught by symbols and by types. The Lord Jesus had not yet come in the flesh, and therefore, until that time would arrive, God showed the people, God taught the people by types and illustrations and by symbols, one of which was the animal sacrifice. And the Lord told the people that they could only approach God by means of the sacrifice. Right there from the very beginning, you remember after the fall of Adam, that God set in place that illustration when he took the animal, slew the animal, provided them coats of skin. And thereafter, Adam taught his children that the only way they could come to God was by the sacrifice of the animal and by its shed blood. You remember how Abel brought the firstling of the flock and his offering was accepted. Whereas Cain, his brother, brought the fruit of the ground, the works of his own hands, and God refused his offering. The Lord was teaching them right there from the beginning of time that fallen mankind can only come to God by the death of another. Another must die. A substitute must take the place of the sinner, and its blood must be shed in order for God to be reconciled to the sinner. And that pattern, that illustration was established all the way through the Old Testament dispensation. And when Israel is formed as a nation in covenant with God, the tabernacle is established as the central focal point of worship. God told the people, you can only come by the sacrifice. When they came to the tabernacle, and they stepped through the door, the first item that they met was the great brazen altar. The place where the fire burned and the animal was placed. It was slain and it was placed on the altar. and its blood was shed. The Lord was emphasizing that because of man's sin, another must die. Before God can be reconciled to sinful man, and sinful man reconciled to God, blood must be shed. It was a picture. It was an illustration. It was a type of the coming Savior and the great work that he would come to do. The Lord was teaching them of the consequence of sin. Our sin has separated us from God. The penalty of a broken law must be executed. Another must die, and blood must be shed. A substitute must be provided. It was prefiguring the work of the Lord Jesus, teaching the people that he would come at a future day as the seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman, to take our place, to bear our sin, and to pay the punishment that the law of God demanded. And now God says to Moses concerning the sacrifice. He says in verse 27 of this chapter that it was to be taken out and it was to be kept up for 7 days. And then on the 8th day, after having been inspected, after having been examined to be without blemish and without spot and without flaw, the 8th day would signify the acceptability of the sacrifice. The 7 days were days of inspection. Look at verse 20 of that chapter. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. Verse 22, blind or broken or maimed or having a wen or scurvy or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Those 7 days were days of examination, days when the animal, whatever kind it was examined to be without blemish, and then on the 8th day, it was declared acceptable as the sacrifice. Turn back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 brings us to the night of the Passover. And the Lord told the people here in verse number 3, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Verse 6. Or verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. The sacrifice of the Passover was a type of Christ. Passover lamb was set apart on the 10th day, and then on the 14th day, it was sacrificed. The Lord Jesus entered into Jerusalem on the 10th day, the very day when the Passover lamb was being set apart. And then on the 14th day, he was crucified. And when you take those days and you add them up, you take those days from the 10th day to the 14th day, and then the Lord's body lying in the tomb, you'll discover that it comes to 8 days. The 8th day. And that 8th day, signifying the day of resurrection, is God's indication that he had accepted the sacrifice. That the sacrifice was acceptable in the sight of God. That it was without blemish. That it was pure. That it was sufficient and efficient to satisfy a holy God. The 8th day was the indication of the acceptance of the sacrifice. It is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead that proves to us that God has accepted the sacrifice that His Son offered. Hebrews 13 and verse 20 says these words, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Why was the Lord Jesus raised from the dead? He was raised from the dead through the blood, or because of the blood. He was not held under the power of death, but He was raised from the dead because His sacrifice was acceptable to a holy God. God had accepted the sacrifice. The eighth day in the Old Testament was the day that signified the sacrifice was accepted. And when the disciples went to the tomb on that first day of the week, being the eighth day, they found the tomb empty and the Lord risen, because God had accepted the sacrifice of His dear Son. But turn to Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 8. And a second reference to the eighth day is brought to our attention. Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 33. This chapter, if you have a Bible that has descriptions at the head of the page, you'll find that this chapter is described in this way: the consecration of Aaron and his sons. Aaron was the high priest, and the sons of Aaron were the priests. And this chapter details the consecration, the setting apart of Aaron to that office and to that role. Verse number 33. "Ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you." Then chapter 9 and verse 1. "And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said unto Aaron, Take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for the burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord." You notice the eighth day was the completion of the consecration of the high priest on the eighth day. The high priest, his role and purpose was to represent the people in the presence of God. The animal was sacrificed upon the altar. Its blood was shed. But something more was required. A high priest was required to take that blood and to enter into the holiest of all and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat to make atonement for sin. The high priest was the mediator. He represented the people in the presence of God. He approached God on behalf of the people to make atonement for sin, bringing the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkling that blood upon the altar. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1 states, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." He becomes the mediator, the one who stands between God and man. God has been offended because of our sin. Man is the offender. And in order for an offended God to be reconciled to offending man, there must be one who stands between each party, who can identify with each, who can bring both together. There needs to be a mediator. And isn't it interesting, when the high priest was set apart, that his consecration was completed on the eighth day. The eighth day. And what is the eighth day? It is 7 plus 1. It is the first day after 7. The Lord Jesus is our great high priest. Look at Hebrews 9 and verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made. The first wherein was the candlestick and the table and showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Look at verse number 7 of that chapter. But into the second went the high priest alone. Nobody could go in but him, to the holiest of all. And in the Old Testament economy, he only went into the holiest of all once in the year. Not without blood. He had to bring the blood of the sacrifice, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Come down to verse 18. The first testament was dedicated, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. There had to be the sprinkling. Verse 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And then he went in, the high priest, this is, would go in with the blood and he would sprinkle the mercy seat. Verse number 22, and almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no remission. The Lord Jesus, as our great high priest, was set apart by God in order to be the mediator between God and man, to stand between God and man, to enter into the holiest of all and to sprinkle the blood. Look at Leviticus number 8. Sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 9 it should be. Verse number 7. And we read there of the offering of the Lord that is made unto the Lord. Right, let me see. Verse number 7. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Notice the offering. The offering of atonement. And then verse 18. He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about. Notice the blood was shed, and then the blood was sprinkled. And then verse 22. Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. I want you to notice all that took place on the eighth day. The sacrifice was offered, the blood was sprinkled, and the blessing was pronounced on the eighth day. The eighth day. It was symbolical of the resurrection. And on the eighth day, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, the first day of the week, the third day since he died, when he rose from the dead, what happened? He was consecrated. consecrated as our great high priest. His consecration was completed. He was set apart as the one who could ascend into the presence of God. What did he say to Mary? Touch me not. I am not yet ascended. And yet before the day was out, the other women came and they held him by the feet. He allowed them to touch him. But yet he says to Mary, touch me not. I am not yet ascended. It was the eighth day when the great high priest was consecrated. His consecration was complete. He was able to go and sprinkle the blood and obtain the blessing. And when Jesus rose from the dead, that eighth day, he ascended to the heaven above with his own precious blood, sprinkled the throne of God, and he obtained eternal redemption for us. What a beautiful picture there is on the eighth day. It's the day when the sacrifice was declared acceptable. It's the day when the high priest, his consecration was complete. And he entered in to sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat and obtain the blessing. But one final thought, Leviticus chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12, in verse number 3. The eighth day is referred to this time in relation to the circumcision of the male child. If a woman, verse 2, have conceived seed and born a man child, then shall she be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. This, of course, goes back to the covenant with Abraham. If you go back to Genesis 17, Genesis chapter 17, and God gave that covenant to Abraham. Verse 9. Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. The eighth day was the day when circumcision was administered to the male child. And why was that circumcision set in place? It was a type of Christ. It was a reminder of God's promise that from the seed of Abraham, from the offspring of Abraham, there would come a male child who would be the Savior. That's why this ordinance of circumcision contained the shedding of blood. God was pointing forward. The seed of the woman will be the seed of Abraham, the offspring of Abraham. And from his line, the Savior will come. By the shedding of whose blood, redemption shall be accomplished. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 11. And Paul makes reference here to this ordinance of circumcision. And he describes it as a sign and a seal. Verse 11, concerning Abraham, he received the sign of circumcision. In other words, it was a symbol, it was a type, a sign, and it was a type of Christ. And then he says, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. Notice how he links the ordinance of circumcision with righteousness. And what Paul is doing now is to explain why God gave this ordinance of circumcision to Abraham in the Old Testament. It was an indication, it was a guarantee that from his line there would come a male child who would be the Savior, whose blood would be shed. And by the shedding of his blood, he would bring in everlasting righteousness for all those who will trust him and believe in him. And when did it take place? It took place on the eighth day. The eighth day. Look at verse 25 of that chapter, Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Well, look at verse 22. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Justification has to do with making us righteous before God. Why does Paul relate our justification to the resurrection? He was raised again for our justification. The resurrection proves, it is the guarantee that the life and death of Jesus Christ provides and secures an everlasting righteousness to all who trust in him. That's why it was the eighth day when the male child was circumcised, pointing to the coming Savior who would shed his blood, by whose life and death justifying righteousness would be obtained for those who believe in him and trust him as their Savior. The eighth day. The Old Testament may not make any reference to the first day, but it mentions the eighth day. The day when the sacrifice was declared acceptable. The day when the high priest's consecration was completed. And the day when the male child was circumcised. All of which point to Christ. His resurrection proves that God has accepted his sacrifice. His resurrection proves that he is now the great high priest that stands between God and us, who is able to secure the blessing. And his resurrection proves beyond all dispute that there is an everlasting righteousness for all who trust in him. It's the day when 1 + 3 = 8. The eighth day. What a day, and what a glorious truth. Let's turn to